Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
I invite you to turn to Psalm 19, where our call to worship is taken from this morning, verses 8 through 14 of Psalm 19. I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. The Lord's instruction is right. It makes our hearts glad. His commands shine brightly, and they give us light. Worshiping the Lord is sacred. He will always be worshiped. All his decisions are correct and fair. They are worth more than the finest gold and are sweeter than honey from a honeycomb. By your teachings, Lord, I am warned. By obeying them, I am greatly rewarded. None of us know our faults. Forgive me when I sin without knowing it. Don't let me do wrong on purpose, Lord, or let sin have control over my life. Then I will be innocent and not guilty of some terrible fault. Let my words and my thoughts be pleasing to you, Lord, because you are my mighty rock and my protector.
It is now time for our morning prayer. Our usual procedure here is those who have special requests or something they would like to bring personally before the Lord, if you'll bring it here and kneel at the altar. And the rest of us, wherever possible, let's kneel. Thank you. Most precious Heavenly Father, we bow before you with heart full of praise and gratitude. Father, you've granted us a beautiful day, another day of life this side of heaven. Father, I pray that you will come and be part of this service today. Father, we exalt you, we praise you. Our worship thus far has been totally with you in mind, and I pray that you will be a special part of this service. Send your angels to walk up and down the aisles, take away distractions, so that we may hear the message that has been prepared for us. Open our hearts and minds. And Father, for those who are traveling, we ask that you will be with them in a special way. Watch over and protect them. Keep them safe on the highways. Those who are worshiping elsewhere around this world, Father, be with them. Father, we are living in troubling times, but we know that you are in charge. But we also know that there are so many who do not know you. Fill us with a desire to minister to those individuals in ways that will turn their hearts and minds to you. Father, we have a lengthy list of prayer requests. I lay them before you this morning, asking that you have mercy in each situation where there is pain and heartache, loneliness, or discouragement. Be especially close to each one. Speak words of encouragement through individuals you may send their way. And Father, where there is so many suffering with cancer and the terrible ravages of the body that come with it, Father, grant them peace, grant them comfort that comes only from you. And Father, for those kneeling here before you this morning, I ask that you surround them with a special measure of your love. May they feel your comfort and guidance as they go through this coming week. Those who are here at the altar, Father, they will lift their personal praise and petitions to you at this time. Thank you, Father, for hearing, for answering, but most of all, thank you for the salvation that you have provided for each of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. It is so good to be here. You all have a wonderful pastor. Amen? I got to spend last week for the singles with him, and I got to listen to him every message, because I'm single too. And so I hung around with him, and what an awesome speaker and awesome good man he is. And he had asked me then, when he first got there, that I would come down and preach today for you guys. And I'm just so blessed to be here, and I thank him for the opportunity to come and speak for the Lord today. And
let's start with a word of prayer, okay?
Father in heaven, Lord, just thank you so much for everything that you do for us, Lord. Lord, now I just ask that you would come in this place and fill us, Lord. And may we all be blessed today and be changed today and learn how to live a victorious Christian life for you. Fill me, Lord. Speak through me. I pray that they see only Jesus and not Shane LeBaron today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a beautiful day out there, isn't it? I had a wonderful drive down. It was an hour and a half drive. It was so beautiful. The sun was coming up. And I thought this morning, before we get into how to live a victorious Christian life, I'd share a little bit of my testimony with you, how I got to work. I'm a camp ranger for Camp Asabo. And how I got to be there, and it's a pretty cool story. So I thought I'd share with you that. And I was born in Greenville, and we moved. My dad drove semi for Myers for 35 years. He's retired now, and they had moved the warehouses to Lansing, so he had to work out of Lansing warehouse in 73. So I was in Greenville for 3 years. I moved to St. John's. And I grew up Adventist, but when I went into high school, I began to backslide a little bit, and for about 16 years, sad to say. But I did go to church once in a while, and there was a man there named Gaylord Stevenson. I don't know if you know Gaylord Stevenson. I don't know if you know him from St. John's Church. Well, anyways, I would go to church once in a while. If some of you older people don't think you make a difference in young people's lives, you do. And Gaylord knew that I wasn't living a Christian lifestyle. And I would go to church and he would pull me in. He would shake my hand and pull me close and say, I sure do love you, boy. I'm glad you're here. Because he knew what I was. He didn't condemn me. He didn't judge me. He just loved me. We need more of that in our churches today. Amen? Amen. So that kind of stuck with me. I ended up driving semi. I had several different jobs over the years. I lived in Hawaii, and I come back from Hawaii. I worked for Myers for 9 years. I ended up driving semi. I followed in my dad's footsteps for a while. I ended up driving for 9 years. Towards the end of the 9 year, I began to, my lifestyle was catching up to me. I was going to the bar, I had cars, I had Corvettes, I had money, I was making good money. And just wasn't living a Christian, I was living a worldly lifestyle. And I was eating a lot of red meat. And I ended up having a kidney stone. Very painful, spent the night in the hospital. From eating eating meat, I guess you can get kidney stones from that. But I'm okay now. I'm a vegetarian for like 9 years. I haven't had meat in almost 10 years. So, but it brought me to my knees literally. And I was talking with the pastor of the St. John's Church. Once in a while, I would talk to him, and finally he just asked me, how you doing, man? What's going on? And I began to tell him, and then there was a baptism at the St. John's Church when I was there, and a young man was baptized, and he had a call afterwards. Alan Meese, he had a call afterwards, and I stood up in the back with tears in my eyes, and I knew I had to surrender my heart to Him, and then began to get better. Mary Burnt, I don't know if you know Mary Burnt with Veggies, David Asherick. She had this restaurant where David Asherick worked, and I went to one of her seminars in St. John's, and she goes, "You don't want to have a kidney stone again?" I said, "No, ma'am." They hurt. So she goes, "Don't eat meat." And I've been a vegetarian for quite a while now, and no problem. So she was right, and I began to my ministry. I was rebaptized February 28th of 04. And I began my ministry for the Lord. And my ministry was to preach in as many churches as I can. And I think you guys are like the 16th different church. And I've also preached in the Philippines, and I got a chance to go over there. And so, and I also went to Arise Institute for Bible, you know, Institute for Soul Winning and Evangelism with David Asherick. In 04, December 14th of 08. And then I went back to camp. Well, I was working for an engineer. Well, after Myers, I went to work for Life EMS Ambulance Service in Grand Rapids, which I had no experience in at all. I believe God puts people in place, so God was training me the whole time for where I'm at now. I have over 50 vehicles that I take care of, engines, chainsaws, go-karts, trucks, vans, tractors, you name it, I have to fix it. So the Lord was training me. The moment I gave my heart to the Lord driving a semi, God was training me for where I'm at now. It's so awesome where God takes care of our people, takes care of His people. Amen. And I worked for an engineer. I wasn't going to fill the paperwork out for Rise, and then there was an earthquake down by the border of Michigan and Illinois there. And I'm like, it brought me to my knees in the morning. I'm like, okay, Lord. I was living in this house with this elderly lady. She rented a room for me, and she got my mind back going again, reading, and she used to work for a paper, and we read books, you know, driving semi, and so it's like easy, you know. So I started getting my education back and started reading, because I didn't like school, and she helped me prepare for a Rise, which I didn't know I was going to do, and then I got accepted in, Pastor Ken Mitchell called me when I was working for the engineer, John Lamphere. I don't know if you know John Lamphere, LTW, Lamphere Toolworks. I was building machinery that make car parts. And Pastor Ken called me. I was working for him. And he said our mechanic at camp had broken his femur bone. He was unloading on a scissor lift, and it tipped over while he was in the cage, and it broke his femur. I don't know if you know David Reed. And so he broke his femur, and Ken called me and said, "Hey, can you come up and fill in while he gets better?" And I said, "Yeah, I can come for a couple of weeks." And so I got a taste of it a little bit there for part-time. And then that second week I worked at camp, I got a call from Randy Band at Arise saying, "Hey, you got accepted into the school. We need you down here September 8th, I think it was." And so that's how I got into Arise. And then I graduated Arise, and I got a job working in a hospital in St. John's. I had no experience in it again. I got the job out of 5,000 people applied to this job as environmental service tech. And if you work for a hospital, they do checks on you, and you're a really good person if you work at a hospital. It was just amazing how God took care of me. And I was going to lose my car. I was going to lose pretty much everything I had. And because I had sold everything to keep going, because you take 4 months off of work, it's hard to keep going, you know. And so I graduated Arise, went to work for the hospital, and then Pastor Ken came to St. John's and did an investiture for Pathfinders, and he had asked me, "Hey, do you have a job yet?" And I says, "No, I mean, I got a job, but it's just per diem. It was only like not even part time, and I was making ends meet." But so he goes, "Well, why don't you call me tomorrow, and we'll talk." I said, so I called him tomorrow. And then I went up to camp, and we had an interview. And then I went to a conference and had an interview with Jay. And then I'm not getting weird or nothing, but I had already pictured myself in Jay's office. I've never been in Jay's office before. And it was like surreal. It was like, wow, this is amazing. I said, Jay, I've already been in your office, but I've never been here before. And he goes, yeah, that's a God moment. Amen. And it's like, it was amazing. And I just tears in my eyes. And he says, you got the job. And I was like so happy. And, you know, God takes care of us. Amen. If we just apply. So everything that I did, working, driving truck, because I have to drive buses. I'm a mechanic. I was a mechanic for 4 years. So I had to fix everything up there. When I was environmental service tech, they clean bathrooms. And we have over 70-some toilets. So you have to clean those. And so God taught me how to clean, how to make a bed. We have beds we have to make. So everything led up to where I'm at today. And I think last year, I don't have the numbers yet for this year. We had 142 kids this year, more than last year. But last year we had 301 kids that signed up for baptism. Amen? And we had over 500 recommitments. So that's how kind of where I'm at today. And so we'll go into the message this morning. Amen? All right? There's something else I do. How many of you brought your Bibles this morning? Can you hold them up? Hold them up. Say, I'm working on my PhD. Say, I'm working on my PhD. That's preparing for heaven daily. Amen? Amen? That's right. Open them up to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. Say amen when you're there. I may ask you some questions today. You can participate a little bit, okay? And Jesus came. Everyone there? And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So what is our mission? To teach. It says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them. Question for you. Are we going to have a hard time fulfilling the Great Commission if we're not living a Christian, a victorious Christian life? Why is it, this is why this message is so important, and I need to hear it again for myself today. There are 28 Bible texts this morning, so I don't know if you can all keep up. I'm going to get my clicker here. So let's get started. There was a man in prison in a different country. And they had asked this minister to go in and visit him. And he went in with him and sat down. And he began to tell him his story. He wasn't in prison because he had committed a crime. It's because he was on the opposite party and a coup had taken place. And since he was the vice president of the country, he was put in prison. He talked with him and he said probably the best thing that happened to him because he said, if I was still there in politics, he said, I never would have found Jesus Christ. He said, even though I'm here and I have these prison walls around me, he says, I'm free. Freer than I've ever been in my life. You see, freedom is a condition of the mind. You see, attitude is the paintbrush of the mind. It can color any situation. It just depends how you and I look at it. And when an individual comes to Christ, things begin to change because it is Jesus Christ that changes the attitude. Amen. A minister was talking to a lady one time. She says, I never could figure out what was wrong with everybody. Everything seemed to be wrong. She says, then I found the Lord and found out the problem is with me. You see, change the attitude. Christ can do that. When a person comes to Christ, he finds freedom. That freedom is in Christ Jesus, the Bible says in John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? set you free, make you free. That's right. Once you understand the word of God, I'm no longer bound by the things of this world. Christ is the one that changes me and makes me different. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about why people wind up in bondage, why we're in captivity. How can I, as an individual, be made free? Well, the Bible tells us that people go into bondage a lot of different ways. People are born into bondage. Can you think of someone in the Bible who was born into bondage? Can you think of someone? Moses, maybe? That's right. It says he was there in Egypt, born into slavery. There are a lot of people in this world that their forefathers were born into slavery. They were just made slaves. You see, some people were born into slavery. The Bible says spiritually, you can be born into it. Listen. Ephesians 2:3. Among whom also we are once conducted ourselves in lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So you are born into spiritual slavery, bondage. That's the way we come into the world. Some people have gotten into bondage by being forced into it. Can you think of someone in the Bible who was forced into it? Daniel was. It says that Daniel and his companions, Nebuchadnezzar, came down there and sent his captain in there, and they took about 70 of those men captive and forced them into bondage and took them back to Babylon. Didn't have a choice about it. They were forced. There are a lot of people who were forced into slavery in this country. Didn't have a choice about it. They were just made slaves. The Bible says spiritually, you can be forced into bondage. Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. You see, some people never figured that out. You see, God loves you. God will plead with you. God will send the Holy Spirit to work on your heart. But God will not force you. Some of you here this morning are waiting for God to grab you by the nape of the neck and shake you real hard to get your attention. And then you say, well, okay, I'll do it. But God doesn't work that way. He's not going to grab you by the nape of the neck and shake you real hard to get your attention. He's going to plead with you. He's going to impress you. But he's not going to force you. But the devil will. The devil will use force on you any way he can. That's why it says the violent take it by force. But God doesn't work that way. And there are some people that have gone into bondage by being sold into bondage. Can you think of someone who was sold into bondage? Joseph was, that's right. Sold by his brothers to a caravan of people going down to Egypt. Sold them, took them, taken to Egypt, and put them on the auction block, and was sold into slavery. There are a lot of people in this country who were sold into slavery, taken against their will, sold into slavery. The Bible says you were sold into slavery, spiritually. That's what it says. Thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgression your mother has been put away. And so we have been sold into slavery, into bondage. And if I'm a slave, which the Bible says I am, that I have been born or forced or sold into it, then how am I going to get free? You see, they couldn't understand this in Christ's day. How am I going to get out of slavery? How is this going to happen? The Pharisees were talking to Jesus, and this is what happened. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we'll be made free?" They were in bondage to the Romans right then when they were saying that. Jesus answered, "Very, very, very, I say to you, unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant to sin." So if you commit sin, you are a slave to sin. All of us have been slaves to sin. Then how am I going to get out of bondage? Well, how have people gotten out of bondage before? Ever thought about it? How have they gotten out? Well, some people have bought their way out. Just able to get enough money together and buy their way out and be made free. No longer slaves. But spiritually, can you buy your freedom? No. If you can't buy your freedom spiritually, why can't you? Well, because the devil won't sell. You're in bondage to him, and he's not willing to sell. So you can't get out that way. Some people have gotten out of bondage by force. Just big enough, strong enough, and force their way out. Is that possible spiritually? Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places." No, you can't force your way out because you're just not stronger than the devil. So there's no way you can get out that way. Get out of spiritual bondage because you're just not strong enough. Could I get out of bondage by running away? I can't really say that's freedom, always looking over your shoulder to see who's found you, or I don't know that's freedom. But there are people who left slavery by running away. Can you run away from the devil? No. Impossible. Can't do it. So the Bible says we're all slaves to sin. That's the way we all are. So I can't buy my freedom. I can't force my way out. I can't run away. How am I going to get free? How am I going to get out? How can I be made free from all this? For the good that I will to do, I do not do. I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. How can I ever break the chains of bondage and be set free? Well, there's only one way you can. Only one way you can be released from slavery. And do you know how that is? Okay, I'm a slave, okay? And I'm a slave all my life. When I die, am I a slave? No. The only way you can get free is you have to die spiritually. Can't get free any other way. For this is what the Lord says, you were sold for nothing. Without money, you will be redeemed without money. The Bible says you sold yourself for nothing, you will be redeemed without money. And that's the way we get free. You must be willing to die. If you're not willing to die, God can't set you free. You'll be a slave all your life. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I must be willing to die. I have to be crucified with Jesus Christ. Amen? Only when I get up every day and I take Shane LeBaron and I crucify the old man of sin, only then am I free. If you want to be free, you have to be willing to die to the old man of sin. Once you do that, then you are set free. Or if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? Live. That's right. You see, this is learning to commit your life to the Lord every day. And say, my life is your life today. Not the flesh. Not the desires of myself. But I say, I give myself to the Lord. I am crucifying. I am crucifying the old man of sin. Now let me explain how that works. There are two laws that work in your lives, and one of them you have no choice about at all. Some people think you have two choices, whether you can be a sinner or be saved. You don't have two choices, friends. You're a sinner, you have no choice about that. The only other decision is whether you're going to be saved or not. Whether you're going to serve the Lord or not. Same thing about these two laws. There's one law that works in your life, and you have no choice about that. Listen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. You have no choice about whatsoever about the law of sin and death. That law is there. Nothing you can do about it. But I see another law in my members, warning me against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of the sin which is in my members. There's another law, the law of sin and death, that works in our life, and you can do nothing about that. O wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from the body of this death? So get it clear. The law of sin and death is stronger than you are. You need to understand that. Some of you say, well, what's wrong with me? I want to do what's right. Why can't I? Simply, the law is stronger than you are. It will always be. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. So if you don't take and crucify the old man of sin and die to it, it will hold dominion over you. It will do that all your life because it's stronger than we are. Secondly, we are born with this law working. We are born with this law working in our lives. You see, you don't have a choice about it. I wish people could understand that. That you're born without, you're born with this law working in your lives. And when I say that law, I'm talking about the law of sin and death. It's there, it operates in your life. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That's the way we come into the world. The law of sin and death working, and it will only produce the things contrary to God. Some dear people think that it's just willpower. They think if they have strong enough willpower, they can overcome it. No, you won't. The law is stronger than willpower. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will, the evil I will not to do, that I what? Practice. You see, that's not willpower that overcomes. That's not going to get over it by willpower. Christianity is not won by surrender. It's won by trying. Let me start over. It's not won by fight, it's won by surrender. It's not won by trying, it's won by dying. Amen? Great difference here. People get the idea if I have strong enough willpower, if my backbone is just strong enough, I can overcome. No, you cannot. It takes you half to die. I'm talking about how to live a victorious Christian life day by day. I've got to get up and I've got to take the old man of sin and I've got to crucify him and commit that life to Jesus Christ. And then you are free. Amen? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So what can set you free from the law of sin and death? You see, there's another law that operates in our... And that law is the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. And that law happens to be that we're stronger than we are. You see, that law is stronger than the law of sin and death. Are you following me? It's stronger than the law of sin and death. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under what? Grace. You see, that law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus can set you free from the law of sin and death. That's the only way you can overcome. As if the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus is at work in your life. And that law happens to be that you're born without this law working in your lives. Not born that way, friends. It just doesn't come that way. You're born without it. For when we were in the flesh, the simple passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to what? Death. You see, that law was there working in my life contrary to God. I need something else. The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus is given to you at when? Conversion. When you come to the Lord and accept Him, then all of a sudden the law that is in Christ Jesus can begin to work in your life. So if you don't give your heart to the Lord, if you don't accept Jesus, then there's no way you can be free from the law of sin and death. You've got to surrender that heart to Him. But now we have been delivered from the law, having what? Are we there? Having what? Having died to what we were held by. I know it's getting warm in here. So that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. That I die to the old man of sin, I crucify him now, I am set free to serve the Lord. You've got to do that. That's not something you do once at all in your life. This is something that you do every day. I have to crucify the old man of sin. What does Paul say? I die what? Daily. That's right. What I'm talking to you about is the results of salvation. Do you understand the difference? This comes about as the results of salvation. And I'm not talking about that law working in our lives. That's not salvation. Salvation is when I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Then the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus can begin to work in my life. This is the results. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Amen. You see that? You see how that works? I'm freed from sin because I have died to the old man of sin. So if you want to live a victorious Christian life, then, dear friend, you've got to take the old man of sin. And you've got to die. You've got to crucify it. The moment you crucify it now, the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus will begin to work in your life. And when it begins to work in your life, it will produce fruit. The law of the Spirit of life will produce fruit in your lives. Do you wish your life was more productive? Me too. I'm talking about how to live a victorious Christian life day by day. It's the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus that will produce fruit in your life. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that should bear fruit to God. You see, how are you married to another? And that is how the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus will produce fruit in your life. Well, how is this going to take place? But now, having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God. You have the fruit to holiness and the end of everlasting life. You see, I become a slave of Jesus Christ. And the fruit that now I produce are not fruit unto death, but unto life. It produces the fruit of the Spirit in my life instead of the works of the flesh. What are the fruits of holiness? They are love, joy, peace. You see, friends, do you want those things in your life? Amen. Why does an orange tree produce oranges? Why does an orange tree produce oranges? Because it's an orange tree. Amen? Something here, and when you take my life and you turn it over to him, it's going to produce the fruits of righteousness. Because he's the one that's working in my life that makes the difference. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So how can I produce more fruit? My life doesn't produce much fruit. How can I produce more fruit? Well, the Bible tells us how. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us, through washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Spirit. You see, you want to produce more fruit by having more of the Holy Spirit. You see, we produce more fruit by having more of the Holy Spirit. That's how it comes, by the Holy Spirit. You follow me? If you want to have more fruit in your life, the fruit is of the Holy Spirit. Of the what? The Spirit. That's the way it takes place. It is the fruit of the Spirit, so you have more of it by the Holy Spirit. All right? You'll say, well, that's fine. I'd like to produce more fruit. How can I have more fruit? If I can have more of the Holy Spirit, so how do you have more of the Holy Spirit? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So that's how the Spirit comes, by faith. Are you following me where I'm going? So if I have more faith, the Bible says, I'll have more of the Holy Spirit. And if I have more of the Holy Spirit, I will produce more fruit. That's what the Bible simply says. So if you want more of the Holy Spirit, it comes by faith. Amen. And you say, well, that's great, but I don't have much faith. Well, the Bible tells you how to have more faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to have more faith, we need to spend time here. Amen? If I spend time in the Word of God, I'm going to have more faith, and if I have more faith, I'm going to have more of the Holy Spirit. And if I have more of the Holy Spirit, I will produce more fruit. See what I'm talking about? How to live a victorious Christian life day by day. That only works. That only works if I take Shane LeBaron and I die. When I die, the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And now those things can begin to work in my life that will produce the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, and peace. Do you want those things in your life? That's the way it happens. That's the way they take place, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you can be set free. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Here in the United States, there was a plantation owner who had a large number of slaves. He had this particular slave, his name was John. Great big stalwart man that could do the work of 10 men. And they worked John like 10 men, day in, day out, year after year, until finally John had all of it he could take. He says, I'm not working anymore. And this one particular morning, the slaves went out in the field, and John didn't go to work. When the slaves come in that night, the plantation owner come in and says, come into his cabin and says, John, are you sick? John says, no, I'm not working anymore. Plantation owner says, not working anymore. He says, I'm not working anymore. He says, let me tell you something. If you're not out in the field tomorrow, I'm going to beat you to death. Well, the next morning came. John didn't go to work. And when they came in, the slave came in that evening, the plantation man took some men and they strung John up. And they began to lay the whip across his back, one blow after another. And then the plantation owner said, now I'm telling you, you'll be out in the field tomorrow, or I'm going to beat you to death. Well, the next morning came. John didn't go to work. And when they came in that evening, they took some more men and they strung John up and began to lay the whip across his back. And they whipped him and they whipped him until finally John fell unconscious. Plantation owner went in the house and waited for John to regain consciousness. He come back out and said, John, now I'm telling you, you be out in the field tomorrow, or I'm going to beat you to death. Well, the next morning came. John didn't go to work. And they came in that evening, the slaves came in that evening, and the plantation owner man took some more men and they strung John up again and laid the whip across his back. One blow after another, he whips him. His back now is a bloody mess. Plantation owner said, what good is this doing me? I'm going to beat this man to death, and what have I gained? He says, well, I'll just let him heal. I'll take him to the auction block and sell him. At least I'll get some money out of him. So he let John heal. Time came, he puts the cords on his feet and his arms and puts him in the wagon, took him to the auction block. Time came for John to be up on the block, and they put him up there, great big stalwart man. And the bid began. One man over here bid, another man over here bid. And then all of a sudden, John became agitated. He says, I won't work. That's the reason he's selling me, is because I won't work. The bid went up and up, till slaves like John normally sold for. Till finally one of those young men bought him. He bought John, put him in the wagon, took him back to the plantation, helps him out of the wagon. He cuts the cords off of his arms and his feet. He looked at John and says, John, you're free. You're free to go, John. I bought your freedom. Plantation owner walked into the house. And John just looked down the road and said, free? What does he mean, free? A little while later, the plantationer saw John standing out by the wagon. He come out to John. He said, John, I'm sorry. I should have known better. I have it all written out here for you. What the price was paid. You're free to go, John. Here's your paper. You're free. John just looked at him and said, free? Plantationer said, well, there's a cabin over here. There's food in there. You can stay. So John spent the night. The next morning, the plantationer looked out and saw John standing by the wagon. I went out to John and said, John, it's a new day. He says, you're tied, John, you're free. You're no longer a slave, John, you're free, you can go. He says, free? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I don't know anybody, I don't have anybody. He says, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go. He says, I want to stay here and work for you. He said, you're the only one that's ever done anything for me. I don't want to go. Friends, let me tell you, Jesus Christ is the only one that's ever done anything for you. He died for you. He paid for your freedom. And then you and I can come to him and be free indeed.
Are you glad you came to church today? Amen. Me too. Let's bow our heads for the benediction. May the God of hope be filled with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.